Special thank you to our chaver from American Friends of Tzemach Nafshi, from far and from wide, for shtelting through this beautiful night. Post from the Chor Achsanya, and thank all of them with their generosity enabled this Suda Keat HaMelech, Benigina. Thank you to Rabbi Wein for having us. Shus HaRav, Rav Goldwich, for having us here in this beautiful space. David Mizmor Lashem Ha'aretz Malah, the recognition that the entire earth, the entire world is filled with God's glory. And that the purpose in creation is to fulfill Hashem's desire, so to speak, of creating a dira b'tachtonim. It's expressed by David HaMelech in Tehillim. The pasuk that could be referring to us in that same mizmor. Zed dor dor shav mevakshe panecha Yaakov Sela. This is the generation of those who seek Him. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu, that we're living in the time and place that we are, and that we're counted among those who are seeking Hashem. Mevakshei panecha. Because Sfasemis explains every time there's a reference to the face of God, the panim of Hashem. Mevakshei panecha. It's panecha Hashem mevakesh. That means that we're not just referring to the midos of Hashem, to the outside of God, but that we're yearning for pnimius. And that really is what defines Yutes Kislev as such an important day, such an important moed, meeting place in the Jewish calendar. So thank you everyone for being here, for being counted among the Mevakshe Panecha of Hashem, those who are yearning for the pnimius, yearning to be close to Hashem. Leib Yitzchak Bender used to say that a Breslov or Chassid is going to have to give din v'cheshbon in the next world. He's going to have to answer some very difficult questions. Hari Rabbeinu Rabbi Nachman says very clearly, he's spoken this every day. It's Mala Elyona Lako. That's it. The beginning and end of it all depends on our ability to turn to Hashem in our own words and speak to Hashem directly. We have the Eitzah, we have the instruction. And I believe Yitzchak Bender would say that we're going to get to the next world, we're going to come there, Al-Shem Rabbeinu, and we're going to take out the checklist. So did you do his photo this every day? I know that it's important. And our feet are going to be held to the fire. How come we didn't follow the most fundamental Eitzah? Seekers, us among them, who so desire to be close to Hashem and Pnimius, who are so desperate for the Word of God, who are so hungry and so thirsty. Sometimes when a person is parched, a person ever felt or experienced dehydration. I was a little dehydrated this summer at one point. We were in Six Flags, the family. I was going crazy. It was like 108 degrees. It was right after task ended. I was exhausted and dehydrated. I was going nuts. My body was craving fluids. I think I drank like 5 Powerades, which is insane because it's disgusting, and also because it was like $6 a bottle. But I was going crazy. When a person is dehydrated or starving, they'll eat anything. Those of us who are yearning for pnimius, we're grabbing onto anything we could find. And sometimes the stuff we're grabbing onto is it does the trick for the moment. We drink it or we eat it. We pick up that fad diet or whatever, that popular sefer that's trending, or that popular movement that's happening, that's expressing itself. And we get a morphine shot of something meaningful that lasts for a minute, or something that's good. But Yutis Kislev and the Yontif, the Chagagul of the Balatanya, is a day for us to get back to basics and to work from the inside out. What it means to be Mevakshei Panacho, what it means to be yearning for Hashem's essence. Because that's really what the Sefer HaTanya is all about. Yitzchak Isaac Epstein, Rabbi Eisel from Hummel, was one of the close Talmidim Chaverim of the Baal HaTanya. And he spent a lot of time with the Baal HaTanya. And he related that the Alter Rebbe would go to his daughter's house, Friedke. And he'd go there and he'd say Chassidus to his daughter. There's precedent for such a thing. I was very excited when I heard this. Also about the Baal Shem Tov and Rabbi Nachman. The biggest tzaddikim were learning Chassidus with their daughters. Ayin Shem. They might not have made those videos and put them on Instagram of it, but at least they were doing it. And it was Alter Rebbe would go to Friedke's house and say Chassidus to her and talk to her very openly, certain openness. And of course they had those guys, those chever who were like hacking their way in to like see what was going on and hear what was going on and like intrude on the personal space of that tzaddik and their family. That's the way it goes. And Rabbi Zalman was one of them. What are you going to do? That's the chassid's job, and that's the Rebbe's job, and it is what it is. And he said that he was in there one time, and he heard the Alter Rebbe say to his daughter, "What's the matter with these people? Like, what's wrong with them? They want newspapers. What they want? They want chedushim. They want new stuff. What do they want? They want vartlach for me. I gave them a Tanya. They should learn Tanya. Tell them to learn Tanya. What are they bothering me? They want new stuff all the time. They want fresh varts. It's all there in the Tanya. If they just learn Tanya, they'd be chassidim like Avram Avinu. But we want newspapers. We want some fresh. We want like the fresh fish. We want something new that's trending, that's hot." It's like interesting. I'm going around to yeshivas and seminaries the last couple months. Meeting people and speaking and asking for this, for that. It's amazing how like every other year there's a new movement, a new sefer that's out on the tables. A new chabura or a chug that's being given on a certain topic or a certain idea from a certain author. And it's all beautiful. And it's all beautiful and it's all good and it's all holy and it's all wonderful, for real. I'm not just saying that in a Reish Pei Beis like work through. It's a real thing. It's beautiful and it's holy. But to work from the inside out, the Alter Rebbe gave us a system. The Alter Rebbe gave us a system called Tanya. And as Rav Mo explained so beautifully, "V'lo yidchak od likanes l'daberi mi b'yichidus." You don't have to come and talk things through with me one-on-one. "Ki bahen yimtza mergal l'nafsho v'eitza nechon l'chol davar akash alav b'avodas Hashem." You want to find safety, want to find terra firma, want to find the direct pathway to Pnimius and to his kashrus, to his karvus, to closeness with the tzaddik and with Hashem, it's by learning Sefer HaTanya. It opens up pathways that are fundamental to understand the inner world and the system of the soul. And Vorts are good. Contemporary Svarim are beautiful. I have them. I learn them. We all do. And what's trending is trending for a reason. There's a siyata d'shmaya, there's a mazel there. But to not forget the main thing. Reb Shia Geldseller, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was married to Rav Dessler's only daughter. He got married in Muncie, right down the block from where Rav Mo and I grew up, literally. Right on Main Street in the corner of Grove and Main. And Rav Dessler came from England to be Masader Kedushin and spent the better part of the winter in Muncie, back in the day. And then he went from there to assume the role of Mashkiach in Ponovich. And during that time, he was learning together with his son-in-law, Rav Shia. Derech Agav, Rav Dessler left the world the same day that the Alter Rebbe did. They share the same yartzeit, Chatal Tevis. Because Nafsho Kshura B'Nafsho. He was a Makusher to the Alter Rebbe, Rav Dessler. The Michtav Meliyahu, Mashkiach Panovich. He had such a Hiskashrus that when he was first offered the job to be the Mashkiach Ruchani in Panovich, he wasn't sure what to do. And one night he had a dream. The Alter Rebbe came to him and quoted a pasuk from Kohelis, Mekom Chal Tanach, stay where you are. And he said, Alter, my Rebbe told me that I should stay here, so I'm staying here. And he didn't take the job in Panovich until years later. In Monsi, one day when he was learning with his son-in-law, Reb Shia, he turned to him and he asked him, you know, do you have a Leket Amarim? Do you have a Tanya? So Reb Shia said, sure. He went to his room and he brought out a well-worn Tanya, like a real worked-through Tanya, that his Rav and Rosh Hashiva, Reb Gedal Yeshor, the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Das, gave him as a gift. And the Michtav Meliyahu, Reb Dessler, took this, the Sefer Tanya from his son-in-law, that was all, you know, like all worked through and well-worn, and he said, Tzuveni Gerisen, it's not tattered enough. Meaning, it's good, but not enough. There's such a Yetzirah we have to go through things, to learn things, to check boxes, and to get on with what's next, the next series, the next avoda, the next stage. Tanya is not a sefer that you just learn. Tanya is a sefer of hiskashrus. It's a sefer that opens up a language of yechidus, of binding ourselves to the tzaddik. And if we're able to work through, like Rav Moshe said, to daven along with the Alter Rebbe in Sefer HaTanya, we bind ourselves and we connect ourselves to the one who's the author, the Baal HaTanya. And that awakens in us the ability to be people who are not just learning Torah, but people who are binding ourselves to the Nosein HaTorah. But the goal is not just the information download, but it's to turn content into contact. It's to turn ideas into something which are prayerful that affects us from the inside out. And that's what it means to be someone who's Mavakesh Pnei Hashem. And that's the calling of our generation. Is that there's so much Pnimius around. And Yudhis Kislev is so popular. It already started Motzei Shabbos. Already there's thousands of people in Binyan HaUmah already Motzei Shabbos singing the Arba Bavos. And it's going to go for another week. However many times they could sell out seats. V'tov Shekacha, like in the end of days, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael will spread through the whole world, the holiness of Yerushalayim will spread through all of Eretz Yisrael. Yutis Kislev is going to take over the entire Kislev, and Cheshvan and Teves. V'tov Shekacha. And they're going to be drowning in Pnimius and Pnimius style language and Torah and Shiurim. And it's good. And it's awesome. And Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, Zedor Dor Shav. But the Tanya has to be more worn, has to be more tattered. Reb Zalman Duchman. You hear that name, Reb Zalman Duchman? I'm going through a strong stage now. Reb Zalman Duchman. Reb Zalman Duchman was one of the, like, he was a makusher in Chabad. He was a mashpia, but like not because he wanted to be. Not because he was hired by like an organization and given the title mashpia, because that's what's trending in the world. But he was a makusher in Chabad. He grew up in Hummel, in Reb Eisel's hometown. And he learned in Lubavitch. He was close to the Rebbe Rashab, Rebbe Shalom Dovber. That was his Rebbe. And his whole existence was that he was a chassid who was makusher to a Rebbe. That was his whole thing. It was bittel to the tzaddik. And it was Russia in the days where, I mean, not like today, but like it was Russia, the Soviet Union, in the days where, I mean, they had what was called Asar Ruge Malchus in the winter of 1938, where in one night they took 10 Cheder Rabbeim of Chabad who were in the underground network teaching Torah with Mesiras Nefesh, and in one night killed them all in front of a firing squad. and 200 other people who were involved, Jews who were involved in Harbatzas HaTorah behind the Iron Curtain, were sent to Siberia. After the Rebbe of Shab left the world, Zalman Duchman said, I'm not able to be Makasher myself to anyone else, to the Friedrich Rebbe. He couldn't do it. He just didn't know how. He said, I also have to die. I can't be in the world without the Rashab. But with Mesiris Sivut, it was Mesiris Nefesh to not die along with his Rebbe. He was able to then be Makasher himself to the Friedricher. Now, most people here aren't able to appreciate the context of this, of what it was to be a Yid in the Soviet Empire in those days. I certainly can't understand it. But in the, if you could imagine what was called the Evil Empire, the most dark place on earth, the headquarters of Kfira and evil on planet earth, was in Moscow, Leningrad, Stalingrad, cities that celebrate Arayom Hazeh, murderers. I was there with my daughter on Thursday in Moscow for a chasna, for a big simcha. In the airport, they sell memorabilia of Joseph Stalin. It's like selling commemorative plates and little pillowcases with Hitler. The mass murderer. One of the great mass murderers in all of human history. Celebrated. Still celebrated. A place of incredible darkness. He lost, two of his sons died in the siege on Leningrad. That lasted for over 3 years. And as a Yid with incredible Mesiris Nefesh, among the greats, with their Blazer Nanas, Ramelo Futterfas, Zechusim Magen Aleinu, they took down the Iron Curtain. They defeated Russia. They didn't know what to do with him. Zalman Duchman was once with the Rebbe Rashab visiting a Jew in the hospital in Hummel. And while they were waiting, the Rebbe Rashab took out a Sefer HaTanya and in the waiting room and was looking inside the Sefer. And he turned to Reb Zalman and he said, know that whatever happens in life, whatever one is going through in the world and whatever tzaras a person might feel or whatever constraint or constriction a person might feel in the world, you can always open up a Sefer Tanya, look inside and say, Rebbe, help! Help me, help me! Because this is where the Alter Rebbe is. And Reb Zalman said that for all the years of suffering in Siberia and the death of his children-in-law, Leno, the starvation and the brutality and the exile in the Soviet regime, he was just able to open up a Sefer HaTanya, be Makasher himself to the Tzaddik and say, help me! Because the Tzaddik is in his Sefer. The same way that Hashem is in Torah, the Torah is an extension of God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is Ana, Navshi, Katavti V'Nasati. Hashem says, I wrote myself in this book. This book is me, it's my essence. This is what Torah is. The Sefer HaTanya is the Alter Rebbe. Lakut Maran is Rabbi Nachman. The Sfarim of these Tzaddikim, whatever one of the faces or facets or Shivim Panim with Torah you're connecting to, it's written from a place of truth, then it stands forever. And it can't be just a limud. Tonight, Yutes Kislev is called Rosh Hashanah Lachasidus, and the traditional blessing that's shared is we should have a sweet year, a new year, in learning Chasidus and Darkei Chasidus. What's Darkei Chasidus? There's lots of lumdus by the Lubavitcher Tzaddikim of what Darkei Chasidus is. What Darkei Chasidus is. Whether it's Avos Yisrael, or it's Mesiris Nefesh, or whatever it may be. Darkei Chasidus is being Makasher ourselves to Tzaddikim. Is not just learning this Sefer, davening, but using the Sefer as a first step toward his kashrus, toward meeting the Tzaddik, toward dveikus with the Tzaddik, to getting to the pnimius of the Sefer, and learning it again. There's a reason why there's an annual Seder of learning Sefer HaTanya. And then every year there's a siyum, there's a renewed application. And it's not just for the content, it's not just the information, it's not just the system and the charts, which are important. but it's for the pnimius of it. It's the Alter Rebbe himself. To reveal the Nekudas Tzadik inside of the Sefer. But that's also not it. Rabbi Teitz, anybody from Elizabeth, New Jersey? I lived it. Vayichi Yaakov, Beretz Mitzrayim. Like, Ora and I lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey when we first got married. You were in Eretz Israel then. We lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey, which is really like an extraordinary fact. It's like when you like look like reading like Kochle Or and like you're reading these stories about like going from Kremenchuk to Medvedev, like I don't know on earth what we were doing in Elizabeth. It's a holy place. There's a kosher Dunkin' Donuts that wasn't called Israel, but there's really good access to the train and it was close to Staten Island. Anyways, all of Elizabeth was built by Rabbi Teitz, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha, otherwise known as Rabbi Blau's father-in-law. A shameless tzaddikim here, friends, tonight. Rabbi Teitz was a tremendous builder in Talmud Chacham of Torah in America. He was really an incredible Marbitz Torah, and a very clearly defined Litvish Yid, B'li Litbalbel. A Litvish Yid. And he was Moser Nefesh for Harbatzis HaTorah, and he was an incredible person. He was a big person. And he had amazing Mesiras Nefesh. And in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, perhaps more than any single rabbinic figure or public servant or community leader, he went to the former Soviet Union. He went behind enemy lines. He would constantly go every couple months. He had Ksharim in the United States government, and he was able to get visas. And he would go over and over again to Russia. And anything that was happening, you know, in terms of Yiddishkeit in those days, Yitzchak Zilber Zatzal, and other tzaddikim who were like involved in Harbatzis HaTorah, no matter what you were connected to and drawing from, whatever your tradition was, it somehow was like interconnected with Chabad. The Rebbe was spending his days and nights, facilitating and building this underground network of learning and of Torah and of mikvos in Russia. So every time Rabbi Teitz would go, he would receive a package from 770 that had Tashmisha Kedusha, Tzitzis, or Tefillin Ink. He couldn't just bring this stuff into Russia. It was illegal. So they had a whole system. They put like the dio, the ink for stam inside of like nail polish bottles, and take the ritzuos of tefillin and tie them on the outside of the luggage, and take, you know, tzitzis strings and tie them around their waist and say they had a hernia. It was like they had an incredible system, and everything had to be memorized because no addresses. You couldn't take addresses or names of people of your contacts because the KGB would come after them. So there's like a whole mahalach. Every time Rabbi Teitz went, he would get a package from a shliach that bring it to his house. He'd pack it and he'd go on behalf of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and do his shlichus there. One time, Rabbi Teitz was readying himself to go, and the shliach came and brought him the regular package of, you know, the regular stuff, and as well took out a small pocket-sized Tanya. And Rabbi Teitz looked at him like, what's the story with the Tanya? Like, what's pshat? He said, the Rebbe would like for you to bring this to Russia, to have it with you. Rabbi Teitz looked at him and like, I don't, you know, there's like no extra things. You're not bringing extra stuff. And he said the KGB knew what a Sefer Tanya looked like. They knew what a Sefer Tanya was. There was no Sefer Tanya. It was dangerous to bring it in. And he's thinking to himself, like, I can't bring this in. I'm not risking myself, my safety and security here to bring this something which is l'chora extra. Rabbi Teitz tells the story. He said, but I understood that if the Lubavitcher Rebbe was sending me this Sefer Tanya to bring, that there was a reason for me to bring it. He said, so I put it in my coat pocket and brought it along. And Shliach said, and the Rebbe requests that upon your return, you return the Sefer Tanya to him at 770. He's not hanging out in 770. There's no Izzy's then. And second of all, it wasn't like a thing. He took the package and so. But okay, fine. He understood that there was something to it, but Seder. He gets there Everything goes smoothly, thank God. He's done this many, many times, dozens of times. He ends up in Moscow. There's a shul there called Marina Rosha, which was burnt down by the communists. It was destroyed. They revealed that there was a hidden cheder there. They sent them all to Siberia and burnt the place down. So Rabbi Lazar, the chief rabbi, built it. Now it's like 8 stories high. That's what they do. Dafka in that place. But then it wasn't like that. He was going like toward Marina Rosha, and it was evening. And as he passed by an alleyway, he felt himself being followed. And it's scary. In those days, KGB or the NKVD, who was like the Jewish, you know, they had the Yesvektsia, who were like these real traitors, you know, and they were like looking for people who were there illegally. They grabbed him. Two guys came up behind him and grabbed him and pushed him in the back of a car. And he thought to himself, could be it. This might be it. The end of me. And they start driving. He didn't say a word. They didn't say a word. They turned a couple corners. They pulled into an alleyway. And this one guy turned around and looked at him and said, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey Vav Zayin Ches Tesir. That was the pastor. Like the Rabbi Teitz understood, okay, I'm safe. And they didn't say anything more. They brought him into an apartment, to a safe house. And when they were there, they understood they weren't being followed. It was revealed that these two like were two young Lubavitcher Chassidim that heard, that knew through the secret network that Rabbi Teitz was an ally, was a friend, and that he had some type of relationship with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And they said, we're in a desperate situation. We need you, please, to deliver a message to the Lubavitcher Rebbe for us. So he looked at him and said, okay. And the first guy starts telling his story. He said, I live here in Moscow and I'm involved in the underground network of spreading Torah. But I'm not sure. I think the KGB is on to me. And I'm not sure if I should bounce the city, if I should relocate to someplace else and just get out, or if I should stay and run the risk of being caught. And I'm not sure what to do, and I have no one to ask. I'd like if you can please ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe when you see him. Teitz said, okay. I ask him, you know, how did this guy, I mean, this guy doesn't know that he doesn't go to the Rebbe, but, you know, he thought to himself, like, I actually am going to go to the Rebbe when I get home. And he memorized his name, and he sat with him and said, okay, I'll do my best to remember, and I'll do my best to relay the question. The second fellow was a bit older, and he said, I'm an engineer, and I have a very good, solid, comfortable government job here. And I've been thinking recently a lot whether I should apply for an exit visa. Now, in those days, if you applied for an exit visa, it's 1 in a million that you got one. But more likely you got red flagged and ended up as a refusenik, ended up in prison in Siberia, stuck forever. Natan Sharansky, 9 years. Sundays, when we were kids, Sundays we'd go to Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza with placards holding up "We're our brother's keeper" with names of these Jews who were denied exit visas. The 7th million, Elie Wiesel called them, Jews of Silence, stuck behind the Iron Curtain. He said, I have a strong intuition that I would like to be able to go to Eretz Israel, but I don't know if I should request an exit visa. If you could ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe on my behalf, it would mean the world to me. Rabbi Teitz looked at them, and he was very impressed by the Mesiris Nefesh of these two Chassidim, living what they were living under. All they wanted was the Eitz of the Tzaddik. All they wanted was the clarity from the Rebbe. And he said, it'll be my pleasure to fulfill this shlichus. I'm actually going to the Rebbe when I get home. The Rebbe gave me a Sefer Tanya to take with me here, and I have to return it to him. And they said, what? You have a Tanya from the Rebbe? Teit said, yeah, I have a Tanya from the Rebbe. Reaching into his jacket pocket, and he pulls out this little pocket-sized Sefer Tanya. He said, the Rebbe gave it to me. I'm not sure exactly what. And the first guy said, can we touch it? Can we hold it? Can I look inside of it? The older gentleman was afraid to touch it. He said, I didn't go to mikveh today. I don't want to touch it. And they take this literally with tears in his eyes. This young chassid takes the Sefer Tanya and kisses it, and he starts to cry. Because the Rebbe held it. Because the Alter Rebbe is in it. And he slowly opens it and just kind of like flips through the pages. And at the very, like toward the beginning of the Sefer, there was a slight crease on the top of the page, the top corner, like a little knetch, folded over. And he went to like smooth it out a little bit. And he noticed there, the very first words on the page, in the fifth chelek in Tanya, on the top of the page, it's written, Shahasha dechukalo biyoser. It's extremely pressed for time. V'efshalo b'shum panim v'open lahamtin. And it's utterly impossible and forbidden for him to wait. And this chassid jumped out of his seat. He said, the Rebbe is talking to me. I can't wait. I have to go right away. I have to get out of Moscow. I have to relocate. He couldn't believe it. He was blown away. The second chassid, the older man, who at first didn't want to touch the Tanya because he hadn't gone to mikveh. How could you take the Rebbe's hand if he hadn't gone to mikveh? Literally trembling, takes the Sefer HaTanya and kisses it. And with tears in his eyes, starts to flip through it, and he opens it up a little bit further on in Tanya, another page. There's something very slightly in the top left-hand corner, another knetch, a little fold, a little crease. And there, in Perek Chavtes of Tanya, Leket Amarim on the top of the page, the first two words say, Lehikanes La'aretz, to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And he closed the Sefer, and he said, I'll have an exit visa. The Rebbe says, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. And he gave back the Tanya to Ratites. Ratites didn't know what to say. He was sitting there like dumbfounded. Either this is like the craziest people he ever met in his life, or it's the holiest thing, or both. He didn't know what to do with himself. He came back to the United States. He came back to America after his trip. And soon thereafter went to 770. Like almost like reluctantly. And the secretary who was there, who Rabbi Teitz told the story to, didn't share it until after Gimel Tammuz. The Rebbe, you know, thanked Rabbi Teitz for his shlichus, for his Mesiras Nefesh. Rabbi Teitz handed him back the Sefer, and the Rebbe said, was there anyone who looked inside of it? Rabbi Teitz looked at him and said, there was. There were two Chabad Zker Hasidim who wanted to look inside. And the Rebbe said, and he opens it up, and he saw that the pages were smoothed out, and he said, and they found the knetch. When we're on a day like a night like Yutis Kislev, when it's a night of Hiskashras, of Yechidus, of entering into the Sefer, Lifnai v'lifnim, of being Mavakesh Pnei, the Tzaddik, of looking for the inside of the Tzaddik, and looking for the essence of God, through this portal of a well-worn Sefer Tanya, that we don't just go through it, but it goes through us, we can meet the Tzaddik Emes in Yisvarim. They put their souls into it. Not just for us to have direction, to know what to do and where to go. Like Rav Mo explained, like to ask, to know what the answers are to our questions. But it's to find ourselves here also. It's to reveal ourselves. To find myself, to find the Tzaddik. And together, to continue to strive to find Hashem. Hashem should help us that it be a sweet year, a new year of Limud HaChassidus, of Darkei HaChassidus, of learning the Sefarim, learning ourselves, and hopefully finding in the Sefer that means most to you a little knetch, a little piece of it that's folded over, a little sign, something that's highlighted or underlined, some private, intimate, personal message from the Tzaddik to us that's saying, be close to me, believe in yourself, and together we'll draw close to Hashem Yisbarach. L'chaim, l'chaim. Hi.